You're about to hear an inspiring message from the team at C3 Church Bathurst. It's our prayer that it will spur you to live your best life in Him.
What if there was a secret to life? What if there was one thing that could transform everything? What if in the Bible there's this hidden secret? It's not so hidden, but it's there. It weaves its way through different people, different stories, different accounts. And I reckon I might have found it. And I'd love your ideas afterwards. In fact, next month, I'd love your ideas. Because I want you to test the secret. Okay? Is there a secret to facing trials with courage? Is there a secret to having an understanding, insight into what God is doing? You know, those moments we go, what are you doing, God? Or why aren't you doing, God? To have that kind of view of what God sees, wouldn't that be amazing? What's the secret of having sound character, determination and courage and strength and those things that we see again and again in God's people? What's the secret to having favor follow you? Favor of God that works with you and through you and for you. I wonder what that secret is. I'm going to explore the life of Daniel. Come with me to the book of Daniel. It's in the Old Testament. Bit of background to Daniel. He is a guy who's living in the exile. So if you know your history of Israel, you know that God raised up a man called Abraham, Genesis 12. He took Abraham and said, I'm going to give you a mighty nation. And it took about 400 years to get there, but that's all right. And they settled in the land of Israel, and they took over the land. They, you know, went to Egypt and around the place, Pharaoh, Moses. And then they ended up under Joshua in the land of Israel. And God said, this is your land. And they had kings and prophets. And basically, from the time where they entered the land to this time where we call the exile, is a pretty rocky history of Israel. God's people weren't that faithful. But God was. And in the middle of that, God is saying, listen, if you don't snap out of it, I'm going to take you out of it. And he did. An army under King Nebuchadnezzar came and laid siege to Jerusalem and eventually took them across the desert into a place called Babylon. It's about modern-day Iraq. In fact, the modern city of Babylon is still there. That's the context of the story of Daniel. Now, Daniel is one of these young men, one of the key guys, who was drafted across the desert, across the other side to Babylon, and he was put inside this kind of special school, if you like. They took the best of the best and made them part of the school of the kings of Babylon. And it describes Daniel and his contemporaries as this in Daniel 1:4. They were youths in whom there was no defect, good looking, just like the front row here, including Arden. Honorary youth. Youth in whom was no defect, good looking, showing intelligence. What a, you know, girls, what a great, anyway, description. Moving on. Branch of wisdom, endowed with understanding, discerning knowledge, and who had ability for serving in the king's court. And he ordered to teach them the literature and the language of the Chaldeans. So he got these, the best of the best. He said, right, you need to learn the ways of our ways, the language, the culture, the custom, etc. Now, Daniel was one of these young men. He's a Bible hero. And throughout the book of Daniel, which isn't that short, and I'd love you to go away this week and read it, because you'll see what I mean. I can't possibly read the whole of Daniel this morning. But through the book of Daniel, I see four key threads. Four things that Daniel does and has that I can attribute to the secret that he also has. So let's look at these four things. Number one is that Daniel has the ability to see what God is doing. He has spiritual insight, and he's sought after to help explain what's going on behind the scenes. So here's an example of that. It happens a few times. In Daniel 5:13, Daniel was brought before the king, and the king spoke and said to Daniel, are you that Daniel who is one of the exiles from Judah whom my fathers brought from Judah? Yes, he was. Now, I have heard about you that a spirit of the gods is in you, and that illumination insight and extraordinary wisdom has been found in you. Like, the king could see that in Daniel are these amazing things: illumination, insight, wisdom. And the king had other people in his court who tried to help them, but nobody could. So in verse 16, it says, "Personally, I have heard about you that you are able to give interpretations and solve difficult problems." That is an incredible thing. Can you imagine today to be able to see not only what God is doing, but understand the times, understand our politics, understand world events, understand what's going on in our world? Do you ever wake up and go, what is going on? What is happening to our world? Who's leading this thing? Who's in charge? Can I talk to them? Wouldn't it be good to be able to actually see beyond the day-to-day and have insight and wisdom and illumination to give interpretations and to solve difficult problems? And how many problems do we have as a planet? You know, all kinds of things from environmental issues through to just feeding everybody and political issues, you know. We're talking about a political context. If ever there was a time, it's now, that our world needs this kind of spirit. And Daniel was such a person. What was his secret? And could we, using this secret, have some insight into this world? Second thing I see with Daniel is that he faces trials with courage. Now, many people will shy away from trials and problems. That's our nature, isn't it? You know, who really does go, oh, give me a trial. Give me a problem. Oh, I'm all in there, you know. It's not like we really do that, but guess what? Welcome to life. Welcome to the world of fallen people. Anybody perfect here? All right, we're all in the same company. We've all got issues. We've all got problems. It's what happens in the midst of that is amazing. And Daniel is set up because his contemporaries don't like the fact that he's ruling and he's an outsider, he's a foreigner. And they scheme and they think, we see Daniel has this faith, you know, what if we could set him up and get rid of him? So they scheme this thing before the king. In Daniel 6 verse 7, it says, all the commissioners of the kingdom, the prefects and the satraps and the high officials and the governors have consulted together that the king should establish a statute, a law, and enforce an injunction that anyone who makes a petition to any god or man besides you, O king, for 30 days shall be cast into the lion's den, aka the Daniel clause. They just want to get rid of him. And they know that he's faithful. They know that he prays to God all the time. So what does Daniel do? Carries on as usual. Goes to his room, prays, everybody sees him, and guess what happens? Well, he gets thrown into the lion's den. Now, when you think lion's den, just forget about the cute Sunday school pictures you might have seen as a kid. You picture those pictures? Lions, you know, just furry things, like big pussycats, really, and Daniel's lying on them. Think more gladiator, Romans, you know, like think, you know, these things are often starved, like they're hungry. And it's not some pretty little kids' church. Kids are in, you know, ruin them. It's not cute. It's not lovely. This is torture. This is execution. You know, so he's pushed into this thing. Like what happens is the lions are hungry and they shred people to bits and eat them. But what happens to Daniel? See, he faces it with courage. He says, I know that my God will look after me. And in 6:22, he says afterwards, my God sent his angel, shut the lion's mouths, and they have not harmed me. Inasmuch as I was found innocent before him and also toward you, O king, I have committed no crime. What courage. Who could do with some courage to face the things that we're facing? Whether it's as extreme as a lion's den or, you know, your boss at work's giving you a hard time. We all need courage. We all need perseverance. And Daniel has that, the courage to follow through on convictions despite the cost. So what was inside of Daniel that drove him, that gave him that kind of courage. Another one was character. It goes with courage. But courage without character is often foolhardy. Courage that has a character underneath it is strength. And in Daniel 1:8, we see the resolve of Daniel. This is when he first goes to Babylon. It says here that he made up his mind he would not defile himself with the food or the choice food or the wine which the king would eat. And so he sought permission not to defile himself because that would give him all kinds of food, you know, like pork probably or prawns, the things that a Jew wouldn't be able to eat, and perhaps animals sacrificed to various things. So he says, no, I'm going to keep myself pure. I'm just going to eat vegetables. Well, they're pretty safe. And what he does is that he actually challenges the king. It's a great story. He says, look, if I'm not as healthy by the end, then sure, I'll go back. But he actually became stronger and healthier because of his vegetarian diet. Not that I'm advocating that. Food, diet, lots of chicken. It's his character. He has a sense of resolution that I will not do that. So therefore, it fed into his courage. He had resolve. That's that determination to pursue and to do the right thing. Again, what was the secret? What was the thing that was underneath that resolve? How come he became a man of great resolve? And finally, just the fourth thing I see, there's lots, but I see four key ones, is a sense of favor over Daniel. It's the sense of promotion. Again and again, he is promoted. Anybody who, you know, is following God in that sense, there's often, you look at, there's favor on them. Like, how did you get to be here? Like the story of Joseph. You know, he just, you know, was discarded by his brothers and ended up ruling the whole of Egypt. There's something that happens when God gets on people. And at Daniel in 2:48, the king promoted Daniel, gave him many great gifts. He made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon, like the boss, and chief prefect over all the wise men. This is really early on in the book of Daniel. He's rocketed up to this position of overseeing the whole of Babylon and chief of all the key people. No wonder that got up people's noses. But that sense of promotion, that sense of favor, that the hand of God is on those people, I see that in Daniel. And again, even after he's gone to the lion's den, again, he's elevated. And you see it again throughout Scripture. Favor isn't really about financial gain. Often it comes with that, but it's actually about maintaining a standard. It's about promoting kingdom values. So you'll see that God will elevate people who are his for the purpose of God's kingdom. And that's certainly what happened with Daniel. So what's the secret? How does he get to be this kind of guy? Is it just by chance? Is he just the best looking guy? You know, we do that in our world, don't we? Oh, the best looking guy, they can be the president or the ruler or something. This is what I think. And again, I'd love you to go away, test it, come back in a month's time and tell me if you think it actually works. Let's look at something. When Daniel has the whole lion's den threat shared before, and he's put outside, he's got a choice to make. Does he follow the laws of the time, even if they're made to capture him? Or does he remain faithful to who he is? I think this is the key of the whole book. It's in Daniel 6, verse 10. When Daniel knew that the document was signed to not worship anyone, he entered his house. Now, in the roof chamber, he had windows open toward Jerusalem. And he continued kneeling on his knees three times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God, as he had been doing previously. See that? When all the rulers say, if anybody worships a God other than you, O king, we're going to throw them in the lion's den, he deliberately ignores it. He goes up to his upper room. Think of an attic type thing. Windows open. There's no hiding him. Facing towards the east. Three times a day. Which would have meant that in the middle of his business day, he would have had to stop my business. He's ruling the country. Stop, I got to go home. And he kneels down and he thanks God. Do you see that? Praying and giving thanks before his God. Thank you, God. What? Thank you that I'm the king of Babylon? No, I don't think so. I think that kind of habit is just thanking God for everything. And look at this. He did it as he had been doing previously. This isn't a new desperation prayer. God, I've got facing the lions there. Everyone's out to get me. I better pray. Pray this prayer. Nothing like an emergency to speed up your prayer life. But actually, a real prayer life is consistent. Week in, week out, day in, day out. And what an easy way to kickstart a prayer life. Three times a day, thank you, Jesus. Three words. Thank you. There are two words, apparently. They tried to type thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. What if those words were just ready on your tongue the whole time? That was the first response that you had to anything. Like what if he's gone three times a day? Here's an idea. What if lying in bed before you get up, you just spend a few moments, thank you, Jesus. Like before anything, before you jump out and check social media, see what's happened overnight, what sort of emergencies have gone on, who's eaten what, cat pictures can I see? You know, before you lose the day, before you get up and start, you know, some conversation with someone else in the house, before, just don't even pretend you're still asleep. Don't move. Don't, if you're, you know, married or whatever, sleeping with someone, just in your heart. Thank you, Jesus. Thank him for the day. Thank you for the things that's there. Thank him for the person next to you, the person down the road, the job that you have, or the things that you've got in your fridge, or the roof over your head. That sense of gratitude actually shifts your whole perspective. And suddenly you go to grumble about someone, but you just thank God for them. Ooh, better not grumble about them. Or you go to whinge and complain, but actually you've just spent some time thanking God for that situation. It starts to shift things in your world. And then by midday, there's been some currency. You know, there's been some things going on. Midday is a bit of a chance to just hit refresh for a bit. Maybe it's just around your lunch. Just pause. You know, I know we say, thank you, Jesus, for this food. Amen. But what if we just pause for a few minutes more? Thank you, Jesus, the person next to me. Thank you for my workplace. Thank you for the things in my life. Just deliberately stop. That's why I like what Daniel does. He kneels down. It's not common, is it? But he pauses. He makes himself, he puts him in a position of prayer. Thank you, Jesus. I wonder what that would do to our spirits. And perhaps to close our day with thanksgiving, just like we started, perhaps. Those thoughts drifting off to sleep instead of, oh, I forgot to do that. Oh, that's right. Oh, and, you know, an email you've read and a tense situation. Or you know how you go to bed with some of those things? And then they occupy your mind in your sleep. 3 o'clock in the morning comes and bing. Am I alone? What if I just put those things to bed? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you have a solution to this thing. Thank you, Jesus, that you can sort that. Thank you, Jesus, that you care about me. Thank you, Jesus, that you care about this person I'm worried about. Thank you, Jesus, that this situation is under control. Prayers of faith. Wash over you. Problems, anxieties, concerns. Just leave. What can you do when you're sleeping? Really? Nothing. Rest. God grants sleep to those he loves. Psalm 5:12. What can you really do? Just thank God for them. Thank God that there's an answer in faith. It's the habit of thankfulness. discipline. Now, they say that habits take about 21 days to form. I wonder, then could that those words in the daytime, thank you, Jesus, when things do happen. You know, I was driving home from somewhere yesterday and the car in front of us ran into the car in front of that car. You know, like just a little bump on the thing. And I'm wondering what the first words were when that happened, you know, to that person who's driving the car. I wonder. You can wonder too. Bother. Oh dear. Bless you. Something else you. What if it was, thank you, Jesus. There's a solution. Just a car. I wonder if the perspective would change. Someone does something to you or things happen and just, thank you, Jesus, that you've got a way out. You're guiding me. You love me. You care for me. Those three things. You see it again and again in Scripture. But I think it's time for us to take the thankful challenge. April, end of the year, things happen. Thank you, Jesus. Frame each day with thankfulness. Build a habit from the inside out and watch the Holy Spirit at work, both in you, but also in your circumstances. Watch what he does. Why don't we pray? Steve, why don't you jump up and play some music? I'm going to take just a couple of minutes. It's good to hear from the Word of God through preaching. But you know what's great? He's actually hearing from God himself. And maybe as I've been preaching and sharing the Scriptures this morning, maybe God's been speaking to you about something. And it's just good to take a moment to let the Holy Spirit speak. That's what we're doing now. Let me leave you this one little verse in 1 Thessalonians 5. Paul says, in everything, give thanks. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. What a great verse. In everything, give thanks. For this is God's will for you. In everything, give thanks. Why don't you close your eyes? Just let the Holy Spirit come and speak to your context. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what's happened this week or you've got planned for next week, but the Lord does. He sees it and he cares. He cares about you. He cares about your situation. He cares about the things happening around you and through you. And he deeply loves you. And I see you having a greater awareness of what God's doing around you. It's like Daniel. I see as you start to frame your world with thankfulness and gratitude, I see you have this great sense of God, understanding behind the scenes what he's doing and getting a sense of wisdom and insight like Daniel. I see you face trials with courage. I see you having that extra strength on the inside to go ahead and shift things and move things and stay the course or change things, no matter whatever God's showing you, that the courage required is there. He will equip you with courage as you hold the gratitude on the inside. See character growing inside of you to persevere in season and out of season, not to give up, but to continue facing things. See favor surrounding you. See elevation. See gifts. See promotion. See things working together that you think, how could that ever happen? But suddenly it has. Suddenly the favor of God has come upon you, singled you out and blessed you. Because he loves you. He loves you. He wants to see you whole and well, full of life.
Thanks for listening. We would love to connect with you. Our services are on Sundays at 217 Howick Street at 10 a.m. for a 10:30 service, or visit us on the web at c3churchbathurst.org. Come like a river, come like a flood, let us be overwhelmed, baptized in your love.